The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
Well, today we're celebrating, getting ready for Thanksgiving holiday, but we're also giving thanks to the Lord through our singing, through our looking at the Word, and through our actions. I never title a sermon, just so you know. I've started titling them since I've come here because I want to be able to find them later on in my notes. I'll do a search engine search in my iPad, so I've got a few titles. But today's title, I want to read this to you because I think it's something that really more of a commentary on some things that I have seen in life and families as they meet together. This is the title: The Tale of Two Thanksgivings, or Seven Steps to Becoming a Bummer at Parties. I used bummer because I didn't want to use a bad word, just so you know. Becoming a bummer at parties, and then seven ways to fix it. People have personalities that come out when they gather together. Do y'all believe that's true? Have you seen that to be true? Any kind of gathering, gathering of church, gathering at work, gathering at school, gathering with families, whatever default personality that maybe you have chosen or you have drifted into in life comes out and you become that kind of person. We see it in Scripture. You know, you have the Martha and the Mary. You have the one that does all the work around the house, and you have Mary who's more about the spiritual, emotional side of what's going on. You have people that are always optimistic and happy, always spreading love and having a good time and don't care a lot about the details. And you have those that care a lot about the details. You have folks that like to find negative anywhere they are. I don't know if you know anybody like that, do you? All right, why I brought this up is what I've seen from cartoons is a common theme in all of literature and also in any entertainment of any kind. And I find it to be fairly true in churches and in families. Every group has a pessimist. Every group has a pessimist. Someone who's looking at every glass as half full. An example of that from cartoons, and you may, if I tell you this animal, I'm going to describe him, see if you can think of what his name is. It's a donkey. He lives in the woods with a little bear. Anybody got it? Eeyore. Okay, it's Eeyore. Eeyore, we automatically connect Eeyore with gloomy, sad. The glass is not only half full, it's got a leak in it. All right, then here's one from a contemporary cartoon. I have only seen this show one time, but lots of little kids like to watch it and people like to talk about it. The character is Sadness. The name of this character is Sadness from the show Inside Out. All right, that's a show all about emotions and teaching about emotions. Then there's one from, let's go back, retro for a while back. This is which one of the group of dwarves in Snow White would you say is bad at a party? Grumpy. Okay, we got Grumpy. He's bad at a party. One that came to my mind, this is in the top, by the way, this is characters in the top 10 worst characters in cartoons of all time. The one that's always picking a fight, mad about everything, he's got two pistols on his side. Yosemite Sam. Coming back to the contemporary, we have Ham, the pig from Toy Story. Ham was always spreading bad news, misinformation, and he saw the dark side of everything. And then you had Marlin from Finding Nemo, Nemo's dad. Do you remember him? Marlin was worried about everything all the time. So we have that trope. That's called a trope. If you're going to write a story, write a cartoon, write a book, there's several characters that are tropes that are exaggerated expressions of a behavior that is easy to describe, kind of describes a personality. That trope is pessimist. We find those kind of people in our families. If you don't have anybody in your family that is negative, always looking at the dark side of everything, you couldn't find that person in the crowd, then you might be that person. So you want to examine that today. Examine your heart. See if you're the person that is that way. So if you want to be a bummer at a party, you want to bring everybody down, you want to make people not want to be around you, and possibly go do other things. This is a list of the things that you can do. Number one is keep a list of everyone's wrongs. Maybe write it down on a notepad in your phone. This is what this person did to me. And not only do you keep that list, you keep it for a long time. By the way, I'm really nervous about preaching these seven negative things in a church because people hear what they want to hear. And I got a feeling somebody might walk out today thinking, he just told me it's okay to be grouchy and keep a list of everything, everybody's wrongs. This is not what I want you to do. This is a negative approach. Number two is, think about all the things that bug you every day and write them down. So that's a little bit step beyond people. That's just everything that gets on your nerves. Go ahead and write that down. Number three is, if you find yourself accidentally happy during the day, go back to number one and two. Number four, this might be a more realistic one. Spend more time distracted by your phone. Karen told me something this morning on the way here I didn't know exist. It's some sort of blue screen toxin in your eye, makes your eyes not able to see things as well. You're more sensitive to light. I didn't know that exists. Maybe that's why I wear sunglasses all the time now. Number five, use negative words to describe your day, like this food was terrible. This was the worst place I've ever been or ever visited. This house is so dirty. I'm so tired. You know what makes me sick? There used to be a character in Dallas-Fort Worth Radio. I don't even remember his name, but he started everything off with, you know what makes me sick? You know what makes me so angry? And then he would go list out a bunch of things. It would be something like, it makes me want to let a porcupine loose in a balloon factory. Negative person, saying negative things. Number six, eat bad food and stop exercising. That'll get you in a worse mood. Number seven is, now this is one I want us to look at and really take seriously. Focus on yourself in conversation rather than with God or other people. That's a way to become a bummer at a party or at a group really quick, is focusing on yourself in a way that you never give any attention to anyone else. You know, no one else gets the opportunity to interact with you. It's a one-way street. Now, how you fix negative behaviors is with teaching that is positive, that is teaching that intervenes, that connects with your spirit from the Spirit of God, and that comes from the Word. So I want us to look to some passages here. Our first look at this. Look at this passage from Philippians 2:14. You've heard this scripture preached to you, taught to you. You may have it on a t-shirt. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without a blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We are called as believers to rise above the trope of behavior of common culture. We're to be people that are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, that act like, look like, sound like, smell like, portray the person of Jesus. A person with the Holy Spirit alive and working in your life, that has committed their life to Jesus, is going to be leaning toward this behavior rather than all that negative behavior I just gave you before. You're doing everything without grumbling. Someone leaves a bunch of dishes out, dirty, and you're the one that has to wash it. What do? You do it without grumbling. You might ask for help, but you don't grumble about it. Do it without grumbling or disputing. You don't have to argue about everything. There are some things that happen that are cliche in families that cause disputes. And sometimes they're as small as where someone sits at a table and which table they sit at a meal. Sometimes they're really large about who is going to do what for aging parents or how things are going to be divided in a will. And there are all kinds of very common things that happen in families that cause disputes. Who brings the right food or who brings the turkey this year? We're to be people that are blameless and innocent, have the heart of God as children without a blemish. We'll stand out and we'll be lights to the world if we do that. So we're using scripture to counteract that negative behavior. Now, I've talked to you about this before. I've talked about it on Wednesday night. I believe I mentioned it on Sunday morning. In the course of discipleship, when I'm discipling a person or a group of people along in the Word and their growth in Christ, there is a time that we deal with personality and spiritual gifts. People believe that personalities never change. Now, I don't know if you believe that or not. That personality is kind of what's locked in and who you are. It was molded in you early on. But I want to tell you, personalities can change. Because the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the changing of your heart, changes who you are. It's possible. The Lord's capable of doing that in you. Whatever personality you might have, whatever personality someone else might have, that can be changed to be more like Jesus the more you know Him and the more you spend time with Him. Here's some scripture about being grateful. If you find yourself being a little grouchy, if you are an Eeyore in a crowd, my group of friends, we have one that everybody calls an Eeyore, and they all came up with it independently. It wasn't something we spread. He's an Eeyore. Well, this is what Eeyore needs to read. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, continually give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Just be thankful. Rejoice. Whatever we are in, whatever path that we've been on, God has given us that path, and He has blessed us with that path. And because of that, we can thank Him. We can thank Him because He has given that to us. Psalms 118:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Always give thanks. These songs we sang today, they were a trope. They were. That's something we do as church. I was looking forward to Count Your Many Blessings. Because I've been singing Count Your Many Blessings for how many years? As many as I've been around in church. It's a good thing to confess. As we are confessing and giving thanks to God for all He has done and His goodness. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with what? Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, which is what we did for the first half of the service. We spoke to each other as we sang these songs about giving thanks to the Lord. Then he says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're giving thanks for our circumstances. Thanks for all that He has given us. A cliche in Christian families is before we have the meal, we all sit around and people kind of stare at their food and they hold their utensils and they're afraid to move. Then you got that one that's out of touch with everybody else that's already eating. Y'all know that person in the crowd? And because we've been conditioned in a right way, the right way to give thanks to God for what He's blessed us with. We give thanks to Him. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Psalms 107:8-9. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. We don't do that enough. It shouldn't just be one day a year. It should be every day. Every day we thank God for all that He has given us and what He has blessed us with and what we have. Deuteronomy. The Lord says this in Deuteronomy, when you've eaten and are satisfied, give thanks to the Lord for your God, for the good land which God has given you. It's the precedent for saying grace. So here's how we change the personality. We turn Eeyore, and what? Give me an optimistic cartoon character that comes to mind. Anybody? Got one good one? Well, in Finding Nemo, you've got Dory. Everything's positive with Dory. And all those old cartoons, you've got Tigger instead of Eeyore. There's always an optimistic trope as well. A person that brings joy and happiness and looks past the evil, looks past the bad things of the day and looks to the good things of the day. And here's a way you can do this. And this is, by the way, a way to change your personality. You can change your personality in this way. When you wake up, when your eyes first open, or maybe before you even open them, you take a breath and you thank the Lord with your first breath for giving you another day. Miss Todd always says to me almost every Sunday, any day above ground is a good day. It's good to know that. We thank God for everything that He gives us. And here's those seven ways to do that. Number one, practice gratitude daily. Write down things that you're thankful for in a journal, or say three good things that happen to you each day. That's an expression of, I am repetitively saying these things so that it becomes ingrained in who I am, and I'll become more like that the more I do that. We see an example of that in exercise. The particular gym I go to, if I go at a certain hour, I've waited too late when I got there, because it's filled with retired people, the whole gym. And they like to talk to each other while they work out. And they're talking to each other, and they're kind of sitting on the machines and reading paper and drinking coffee. And it's kind of hard to get around and get your stuff done. But there's these two particular men, and I've talked to Karen about it. I came home impressed with it, to be honest with you. So impressed with it that I had to talk about it. These two men, they're best friends, and they can't stand up all the way straight. They're both just like this. And there's no elevator in this gym. I know they start about six, and they get to the second floor track about eight, because it's a lot for them to get up there. And they get up there, they're on walkers, and they get out on this track, and the track is as wide as these two front points, a little bit about a foot inside those two front points. That's how wide the whole track is, and it's full of people. And they get side by side, and they block the track. I tried to pass them one time, and the guy hip-checked me into the wall. There's no getting around him. So you got to time it just right. If you're running, you got to run, whip around them before they hear you coming, which is okay because they don't hear too good. So that's their method. And they started doing this in the middle of the summer. Last week, I watched them walking around the track. I got there too late, and they were already up there. And they were walking, and they were both standing upright. Couldn't believe it. They'd gone from couldn't walk to standing upright. Not only did they do that, they were lightly gripping the walkers instead of just clutching the walker to keep from falling down. Not only were they doing that, they were outpacing most of the people on the track. They had changed in time by practice of every day. Every day. Every day. They first were weak, and then they were stronger, and it wasn't too late for them to start. They started late in life. Same thing with your attitudes of gratitude, is you can start today and become a grateful, thankful person. Number two, express appreciation. Practice saying thank you to people, or good job to people. You did a good job on that. Or acknowledge kindness that people express to you, and thank them for that. It's important to say it rather than just think it. Number three, show thoughtfulness. Do acts of small kindness to show how you value other people. We had a meeting about 3 weeks ago, and it's one of those long, all-day-long meetings. Y'all all have had them where you're thinking about stuff, and you're a little stressed out, talking about serious things. Somebody brought us a breakfast casserole and left it on the table for us. Somebody who works in the building that wasn't part of that meeting. Wasn't somebody required to. They just showed it. They showed the kindness to other people. Number four, and this is the hard one. This one's going to take practice. Not everybody's good at this. Some are naturally good at this. Be an active listener. Be an active listener. Show that you're interested in the other person's experiences and expressions of their feelings. Boy, that's hard. It's hard. Because we want to tell them what we're thinking. We want to tell them what we're feeling. We want to kind of correct something in them. So we're quick to express our opinion. And active listening is a very difficult practice. And it takes time. And you may have to do some things to make that happen. As I was creating this list, I began to wonder what causes a person to be the kind of person that talks more than they listen. And there's a neediness in that person, a neediness to be heard. Maybe there's a loneliness in that person that needs to be filled with the Lord rather than themselves or their talking. It takes practice to become an active listener. Number five, reciprocate kindness. Somebody does something good for you, do something back. Respond positively. Number six, use visual reminders that trigger thoughts of gratitude and remind you of the good. Now, what am I talking about on this? That means a scripture that we have just read on the wall in a plaque in your house. Somewhere. Maybe in the kitchen, maybe in the bathroom, maybe on the dash of your car, whatever it might be. A scripture that reminds you to be a person that is thankful, that cares about other people. And then this one, number seven, remember the journey. Sometimes you have reasons to be down. Why was Marlin worried the whole time he was trying to find Nemo? Because his kid was lost. He had something real to worry about, didn't he? His little boy was gone. He was out in the big wide open sea. And terrible things happened, but there was a day that they were joined back together. And when they were joined back together, the joy came back into his life. And he transformed in his character who he was. Some of you, we've been through very difficult days. Let me change that. All of us have been through difficult things in our lives. And we come to the point of being on the other side of that, being delivered from that. And we need to be grateful and thank God for all that he brought us through and where we stand today. I'll give you a couple practical things you can do that's not on part of the seven. I know you've heard of people having a swear jar. Or in their house, you say a word you shouldn't say, you have to put a dollar in there. You may not know anybody like that. You're around different kind of people than I am, because I'm around people like that. Create a gratitude jar where you write in something that you're thankful for and put it in there. And then maybe over the course of a year, maybe some point you find a time to get together with your family, your loved ones, and just pull some things out of the jar and read them. Now, the practical thing you can do is make a vow to practice gratitude. I will, from here on out, swear to give thanks to God for all the things he has blessed me with. I will give it to him. You know, sometimes I like to close sermons with hymns. Because they're great for a reason. They're full of great words, some poetic expression of love towards God. And today I didn't want to do that. I wanted to use a contemporary song. This is a contemporary band. It's called Maverick City Music. This jacket is one of those. I got so many pockets, I can't find anything. I'm grateful for these pockets. Hey, by the way, this jacket was good in an airport. Had plenty of places to hide snacks, glasses, extra headphones, not have to go through the little, yeah, it was great. All right. From Maverick City Music, I thank God. Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul, this bag of bones, and I tried with all my mind. I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, oh vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I did not know, and he told me that I was not alone. He picked me up. He turned me around. By the way, this is very upbeat, jazzy music. I can't sing it, so I'm not going to sing it. He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior because he healed my heart. He changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, I thank God. We all have that story. The story when we were not on solid ground, and then he put our feet on solid ground. when we did not have hope, but Jesus gave us hope for eternity. The Savior saved us. The Master set us free. He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. Because He healed my heart. He changed my name. Forever free. I'm not the same. You got a personality that's grouchy? He can change it. He can change it. You got somebody in your life that needs to be changed? He can change them. He can set them free. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. And then Bethel Music has this song, Thanks. How do I say thank you, Lord, for the way that you love me and the way that you come, for all that you've done and that you will do? My heart pours out. Thank you. That's what's going to happen this week if you give your attention to and your heart to being grateful to the Lord for all that He has blessed you with. Let's pray. Father, thank you for blessing us with so many things. Things that we cannot utter in a crowd that you've delivered us from. Father, from hearts that were held captive by Satan that have been set free, we thank you. For family members that have been held captive to evil, Lord, that you've gotten grip on and saved. For those that have been sick, that are on the edge of death, that you've delivered and brought back to life. We thank you. For every provision that we have, every gift that you've given, every bite that we take, every hope that we have, we thank you. Lord, I know that there are people that will be listening to this today that may be listening on radio or on Facebook or whatever it is, and they're in a place of hopelessness. And Lord, we know that you can give them hope. And I pray that they would give their life, surrender to Jesus, so that they might be set free. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.